This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
There's something significant happening this year, and many of us may not be aware of it. And more than half the world's population will go to the polls. And whilst you might say, so what, it doesn't affect me, well, it may change the political landscape of the world. Nicholas Rees is a principal fellow from the Melbourne School of Government at the University of Melbourne. Nicholas, welcome to Joy Drive.
Good afternoon, Warren. Great to be with you and the listeners.
How many countries are going to the polls this year?
Look, by my count, it's over 40, and they account for over half the world's population. I've just looked at national elections, and it's some of the biggest democracies in the world and biggest countries in the world by population. So there'll be national elections held in the United States. I'm sure everybody knows about those. But there's also elections coming up in India, Indonesia, Russia, if you can call it an election, the United Kingdom, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Taiwan, Mexico, and South Africa, just to name a few. When you put the numbers all together, you see this extraordinary milestone in human history with 4 billion people, or half the world's population, participating in a democratic process.
If we look at this, though, with more than half the world's population participating in this process, could it sort of change, I suppose, the political balance of the world?
Oh, there's no doubt that the outcome of the elections happening in 2024 have the potential to change the direction of the world. You know, the United States, if Donald Trump or Joe Biden prevail, you can see the US going in a particular direction. You've got very important elections coming up in India and Indonesia, or not to mention South Africa, where the African National Congress, the ANC, on current polls, looks like it might lose a majority for the first time since the fall of apartheid in 1994.
And if that happens, what will be the impact on South Africa?
Well, very much the modern era of South African politics, which has sort of since they introduced democracy, got rid of the apartheid regime, has and you know were led to that by the great Nelson Mandela. The ANC, the party of Mandela, has dominated South African politics. Now, there's a lot of dissatisfaction with the ANC in recent times, corruption allegations against the previous prime minister, the feeling the current president, I should say, is not doing enough about that. And if the ANC can't get a majority in their own right, then they'll either have to form a coalition with one of the two other leading parties, or there is some who speculate that the ANC could be out of power altogether. Either way, it will be a huge, huge change for that very significant, high-profile African nation.
Nicholas, let's talk about the US. We saw the results out of Iowa today, and President Joe Biden has said, you know, you're essentially voting for democracy. Is democracy under threat in the US?
Well, look, that is subject to conjecture. My personal view, Warren, would be that yes, it is. When Donald Trump was president the last time around, he was found by numerous studies, probably the leading one being a think tank called Varieties of Democracy, who found that he did more than any previous chief executive to undermine democracy in the United States. Now he is promising to punish his political opponents, override the independence of the Department of Justice, and extend presidential power into non-political areas of government administration. I do actually agree with President Joe Biden, who last weekend gave a speech warning that democracy is on the ballot in the 2024 presidential vote.
Let's assume Donald Trump is successful, becomes the president again. What impact could this have on other democracies such as ours?
Yes, I mean, look, we still have a way to go before Donald Trump is declared president for the second time. There's obviously numerous court proceedings. He's facing 91 criminal charges. He's got 2 civil cases being run against him, and he's got 2 state courts that have decided that he shouldn't be allowed on the ballot in those states. Assuming he gets through all of that, then he will need to win the Republican primary. Now, look, the IRA result today is a huge boost for Trump. As Charlie Cook, the veteran political election watcher, remarked earlier today, he said, what Donald Trump is selling, Republicans are buying. So then assuming he goes on to a contest and assuming it's Joe Biden, then some opinion polls released very recently now showing in that head-to-head contest, Trump is ahead. So, yes, there is a real prospect that Trump will be returned as president. And, you know, the leaders of other leading democratic nations are polite in what they say publicly, but there is a lot of concern about what a Trump presidency would mean. You know, in Europe, they worry about flagging US support for the conflict in Ukraine. You know, in the South Pacific, there's concern about what the US approach might be to China, at least in terms of security. And so, yeah, this is an election which will have huge consequences for global affairs.
We're chatting with Nicholas Rees, Principal Fellow from the Melbourne School of Government at the University of Melbourne, about how more than half of the world's population across more than 40 countries will go to the polls in 2024. Nicholas, which countries could see leaders, I suppose, win from their democratic elections, but then see them go and weaken their democracies in order to retain power?
Yes, this is a very good question. So, look, if you look at countries like India and Indonesia, who have been real standard bearers, it needs to be said, for the advancement of democracy across the world and particularly into the developed world. Both of those countries have developed into quite healthy democracies, where they certainly once weren't. And not only that, they've shown that democracy and prosperity can occur for the mass of the people and go hand in hand together. So they've been absolute standard bearers for the whole world, really. Mm. Now, at these elections coming up this year, you've got Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi, who seems almost certain to be returned for a third term. And then you've got the Indonesian Defence Minister, Prabowo Subianto, who is currently the clear frontrunner to become the next president of the world's largest Muslim nation. Now, both Modi and Subianto are self-styled strongman leaders. And there is a risk that if they win power in free and fair elections, then they will go on to oversee illiberal policies that put some of the democratic institutions that are still fairly new in those countries under strain. So they are two critical elections to keep an eye on this year.
Apart from, I suppose, the number of elections, the number of people going to the polls this year, I mean, it seems to me like democracy seems to be a little bit fragile and under threat in certain places around the world. Are we repeating history? Have we been in this circle before? Or is this new territory for the world?
Look, the world is certainly in new territory in terms of the extent of democracies, and not just the numerical scale of the peoples of the world participating in democracies, but the diversity of countries that have embraced democracies. I mean, even dictators and despots these days feel the need to give themselves the appearance of a democratic mandate, because, you know, that's what the people of the world are looking for. Having said that, you raise a really good point. You know, this world record year for democracy certainly shouldn't be seen as a triumph. In fact, I think that democracy is under enormous threat on multiple fronts. And it differs from country to country and jurisdiction to jurisdiction, but there are some definite trends that you can see there. You know, there's a growing the backdrop is spreading illiberalism around the world. You know, I wouldn't say that democracy is the spirit of the times at the moment. I also think you're seeing the weakening of independent institutions in some of the big democracies. So I'm thinking there of, you know, the United States, India, Indonesia, perhaps. And then in the advanced democracies, countries like Australia, especially among younger people, you're seeing a disillusionment with the whole system, and about the, you know, and again amongst the younger people, about what is the very point of having a vote in the first place. So just sort of restoring people's faith in our democracy and our democratic system, I think, is something to really watch for, and for us to strive for and be vigilant in maintaining.
Nicholas, we'll have to get you back later in the year for a bit of a post-analysis of what's happened and what's transpired. Could be an interesting year.
I'd be absolutely delighted to, Warren. Yep, this is definitely a year to watch. And, I'm sure your listeners will be tuning in as we go through democracy's biggest year ever.
Thank you, Nicholas, for joining us on Joy Drive.
Thank you.
Nicholas Rees, Principal Fellow from the Melbourne School of Government at the University of Melbourne.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.